In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, real repentance means having a change in perspective that changes our life. And if we are open to it, this kind of change in perspective is always available to us. It's always possible by God's grace, but we have to seek it. Changes of perspective are familiar to us from many mundane examples in our life. You're trying to solve some dilemma or fix some problem and it seems impossible. Then someone comes along and says, "Why don't you try this? You know, move the couch that way and then it will fit." Ah, and then after they say it, it's obvious, of course, and it works. And we think, "Why didn't I think of that?" Well, we needed just a change in perspective, and then it becomes the most obvious thing in the world. Lots of things are like that. Last week, I had a particular change in perspective. You know, all my life, I haven't really understood the game of lacrosse. I mean, I understand the rules. I get the basic point. You're trying to, you know, get the ball in a little basket on the end of a stick and get it into the goal, right? It's just like a lot of other sports. But it just didn't really click with me. You have a little stick with a little basket, little ball, you're passing it to each other. It just wasn't very compelling to me compared to other sports. Well, last Sunday afternoon, I watched Charlie Berry's lacrosse game, and I had a change in perspective. All of a sudden, it dawned on me, you have a bunch of boys running around a field with sticks and whacking each other with the sticks. It makes perfect sense. It's the most natural thing in the world. I just never thought about it like that. You send boys outside with any equipment and tell them to play, and what will they do? They'll grab sticks and start whacking each other. So, one little thing, kind of a subtle thing, and I shifted and I saw it in a completely different way. Now, we have many more serious examples that we could also give. For example, I feel totally hopeless about my life because I'm looking at all of the negative things. I'm focusing on the negative. It's the glass half empty perspective. And so it looks hopeless. I see my sinfulness and I see my weakness and I see all the problems that I have and I don't see a way forward. But somebody comes along and says, "Father Daniel, it's not that bad. Look at all the wonderful things that you have. Look at the beautiful family and the beautiful parish and, you know, all of these things that you have in your life." And all of a sudden, the perspective has shifted. And I think, yeah, I've got tough things in my life, but it's certainly not hopeless. And God is blessing me in all of these ways. Today, we hear the parable of the prodigal son. And this is par excellence an image of change in perspective. This parable describes the most crucial change in perspective that we all have to experience. And the saints say that this change in perspective is the one that's greater than even the vision of the angels. They say if you're able to see your own brokenness and your own sinfulness, but at the same time to see the goodness and the love of God. They say this is more wonderful than having revelations and visions of angels. In fact, they say it's a greater miracle to know yourself than to raise the dead. Because we spend so much of our life running from that perspective of seeing our own brokenness. But we have in this parable our story. There's one son who says to his father, the father has these two sons, but the one son says to the father, the younger son, "Give me my inheritance. I want it now. I don't want to wait until you're dead." It's as if he said to his father, "I would rather you be dead because I really just want your stuff. I don't want a relationship with you. So give me your inheritance or my inheritance." You know, he's focused on what's mine, my rights, and so on. And the father, like the loving father that God is, gives the inheritance. And he doesn't try to prevent the son from going because he knows that freedom is all important. It's not possible for us truly to love unless that love is offered freely. It's not possible for us truly to obey God unless it's free obedience. Otherwise, it's not worth anything. And in fact, we're not even real people. We don't have reality as human beings unless we have freedom. So the Father says, okay, He gives the Son the inheritance. The Son takes the inheritance and squanders it. And all of this is predictable. The Father knew what was going to happen. So the Son takes that inheritance, He goes, and it says He squanders it in loose living. He has a good time for a while. And then He ends up with nothing. He hits rock bottom. He's empty. He's broken. But He doesn't yet see His brokenness. And He ends up in the pig's pen, taking care of the pigs. And it says that He has nothing to eat. He's starving. And He would even eat the pods of the pigs because He's so desperate. But it says that no one gave Him anything to eat. So He's in this desperate state. But all of a sudden, the perspective changes. It's not that His situation changes yet, right? He's in the same pig's pen. He still has nothing to eat. You know, everything looks as hopeless as it did before, outwardly. But what's the difference? All of a sudden, it says, first of all, He comes to Himself. He came to His right mind. And the first step, the first thing that happens when we come to our right mind is we see ourselves clearly. Right? And so now we're no longer making excuses for ourselves. We're no longer justifying ourselves. We're no longer thinking, if only I had my inheritance, if only my, you know, my parents would give me what I want and allow me to do whatever I want, then my life would be great. He's no longer thinking like that. All of a sudden, He sees the reality of His own sinfulness, His own wretchedness. And that's the first part of coming to ourselves, is to see ourselves clearly. Again, what the saints say is a greater miracle than to raise the dead. But the second part is absolutely necessary. You have to have the two together. To see yourself clearly in your wretchedness and not to make any excuse. And to know your desperate need for help. And the second part, to see how great God's love is. It's incomparable. And nothing can stop it. God's love is invincible. It's infinite. And so the Son, in coming to Himself, He remembers the goodness of His Father and the generosity and the kindness of His Father. And He says, even the hired servants in my Father's house live a beautiful, wonderful life. And here I am far away. I've left my Father, and this is where I've ended up. He said, I can humble myself. And indeed, He humbles Himself. He doesn't just think it. He does it. And I can go back to my Father. And I can say, Father, and He rehearses the whole thing that He's going to say. Father, I'm not worthy. I've sinned before You and before heaven. I'm not worthy to be Your son. Nevertheless, please make me like one of Your hired servants. Now the saints tell us that the hired servants in our Father's house are actually the angels. The angels. We're the prodigal son who's run off, but we're destined to be sons. God made us in His image and His likeness to be His children, to raise us higher than the ranks of the angels. But it's as if the Son is going back and saying, you know, I don't deserve anything, but You take care of every being that You've created. You provide for every single being, the humans, the angels, even the animals. Could I even just have the lowest place in Your household? But what happens? As soon as the Son draws near to His Father's house, it says the Father goes running to meet Him. He goes running. He embraces Him. He holds Him. He weeps over Him. So it's this incredible image of how as soon as we turn around and turn back towards our Father, He comes running out to meet us. And you know what our God's running to us, how that appears, how that manifests itself in the world? It's Christ coming into the world, becoming incarnate for our salvation. This is the Father's love for us. This is the Father not just waiting for us to come to Him, but realizing we can't make the journey all the way back to Him alone by our own strength. So He has to run out to meet us. And that's exactly what He does. The Son is coming on behalf of the Father into the world to embrace us and to bring us into his household and to kill the fatted calf. And who's the fatted calf? Again, that's Christ, who's killed in order to feed us, in order to restore us and make us sons of the Father again. So we have this reminder in this parable of God's boundless love for us. And we want to embrace this perspective. And we want to follow the example of the prodigal son. And we want to seek to see our true selves. When we're outside of our true selves, we have a completely delusional perspective. We see everything in a negative light. And we're all chaotic inside. We have no peace inside, and we project all of our pain and our brokenness and our chaos on all the people around us. So what are we doing? Constantly we're looking around and we're seeing what that person's problem is and what that person's problem is. And we're irritated because this person's doing this, right? And we're frustrated because that person's not doing that. And this is continuously our perspective when that chaos continues to be inside and when we don't see our own brokenness. But when that little shift happens, and it's a magnificent shift, but it only takes a tiny little change in perspective to have this incredible result. We recognize, no, the brokenness is in me. The sin is in me. The dividing line between good and evil doesn't run between you and between me. It runs right through my heart. And we see that. But when in seeing that wretchedness in ourselves, we don't lose hope, but we remember the goodness of our Father. We follow these two steps. And then by these two steps, we begin our journey back to the Father, and then He comes and meets us where we are and embraces us. Saint Sophroni, the spiritual son of Saint Silouan, describes his experience of this very thing. He says this about his experience of confession after he had wandered far away from Christ. Saint Sophroni spent, I think, about 8 years of his life, if I remember right, having been baptized an Orthodox Christian. During his youth, he was a pious Orthodox Christian, but in his early adulthood, like during his 20s, he went wandering, and he explored Eastern religions, Buddhism and Hinduism and all of these things, and he thought that an impersonal idea of God was somehow philosophically higher than a personal God. And what he discovered was basically he went through an experience of hell, and he realized, no, that's hell. And something impersonal is hell. And the true God, the God of love, is totally personal, right? He's one who's able to love, and we're able to feel that love. And there's an embrace that takes place. It's something completely personal. Well, Saint Sophroni goes through this whole experience, and he comes back. And he's describing here how he went to confession with the priest after his return, and this is his expression of his repentance. He said, when he got into that, into the church with the priest, he says, all my life appeared to me as a total lie. When I approached the priest, I was incapable of speaking because of my affliction, and tears and pain of heart, and I only wept. And believe me, before I had begun to articulate my sins, the Lord Himself came out to meet me and fell on my neck and kissed me. I was dear to Him, and He did not wait for me to say, forgive me. Just as in the parable, the prodigal son said, Father, forgive me, I have sinned against heaven and in Thy sight, after his father had already taken him into his arms. What a night that was! It is impossible to describe in words how the Lord loves us. He couldn't even get the words out. He just wept. Now, this is the kind of change, this is the kind of repentance that we're all seeking. But what prevents that from happening? Well, it's the false perspective, the wrong perspective of the elder brother. The elder brother doesn't share that perspective of the prodigal who comes to himself and comes running back to his father. He's still stuck in the hell of his selfishness. He's not able to rejoice in the return of his brother because he thinks he himself is perfect, right? He thinks he's righteous. He doesn't see his own brokenness, when in reality, he's completely devoid of love. Remember, St. Paul says, you can work miracles, you can have all kinds of righteousness, but if you don't have love, it's nothing. You're nothing without love. So this is the way the elder brother is. He thinks he's perfect, but he's completely devoid of love. He has yet to experience a broken heart and tears of repentance without which he can never find genuine love. There's pride in him, which prevents that love and that humility. The Lord has a mighty thirst for our return. Our God is thirsty. He's longing for us to come back to Him, every single one of us. But He doesn't ever force any of us. He always respects our freedom, because only in freedom is real love possible. Only in freedom can we truly become God's children. We see in the parable how He respects the freedom of both brothers, right? He allows the younger son to run off, but he always longs for his return. And the elder brother, he doesn't force him to forgive his brother, but he tries to help him to change his perspective. He says, your brother was lost and he's found. He was dead and he's alive. Can't you rejoice in that? Can't you give thanks for that? If only you can see how beautiful that is, then paradise would be in your heart instead of hell. So this is the Lord even respects the freedom of the elder brother, but he tries to help him to change his perspective. It's when we freely judge ourselves as unworthy of God's blessings, of unworthy of being God's sons, of not even being worthy of being His hired servants, but longing at least to have some small place in His kingdom. It's then that we receive the grace of adoption and become truly His sons. First, we must see our brokenness clearly, along with God's infinite goodness. So let's pray for that change in perspective, which completely transforms our life. Let's pray for those tears that Saint Sophroni had, that we might have, weeping like that, a broken heart, which will bond us with our Lord, which will open our hearts up to His embrace. Let's pray for those tears that transport us all the way back into the loving arms of our Father. Amen.